Okay, today is August the 13th, 2015. And we'll prepare ourselves in our usual fashion, yes? What did I say? Let's take a vote. Today is August the 13th, 2015. Okay. All right? And we're all going to rebound. Not that anybody needs to, but it is our custom. So let's take a few moments to make sure that there's no unconfessed sins lurking about. You all know how to do it, so let's get with it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace that our sins have already been paid for, and yet for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can understand your mighty word. Again, we have a grace principle. We acknowledge a sin to you that has already been forgiven so that we will be in fellowship with you, that the Holy Spirit can empower us to understand things that is beyond the realm of reason and human perception, and we can get into the deep things of who and what you are, why we're here, what is our mission. We're so thankful that it doesn't depend upon our IQ, our intelligence. It only depends upon our volition. How much do we want to know? How far do we want to pursue your grace? And of course, your grace is so endless, it can't even fathom the depths of your grace. And yet, we can try. You've given us that ability. And so we pray that you will help us to keep our perspective clear, what is really important in this life, and that's what we're doing now. It affects everything in our life. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate and not let our minds wander about the issues of the day, but to focus upon your mighty word. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I was looking at a few news headlines, and I'm not even going to, maybe I'll do one or two of them, I don't know. It's just like every day there is so much, well, I can't use all the adjectives or adverbs that I would like to. I know one. I don't even think I can use that. I was going to say it in Greek, but I guess I better not. Orlando Airport to open a $250,000 Muslim prayer room. I wonder if they would do that for a Christian prayer room. Our tax dollars, 80% of California Latino illegal immigrant families need government assistance of our tax dollars. 80% of them. By the way, here's another one that had to do with California. California governor, y'all know who he is, Jerry Brown? Mr. Moonbeam? Signed a bill to ban the word alien in California. I'm not making this up. California Governor Jerry Brown signed a bill into law on August 10th. That's my birthday. I hate that he disgraced it that way. I mean, he doesn't make laws anyway. And to ban a word that you cannot use? Whatever happened to the First Amendment? Remember, we've been looking at how that's just shockingly disappearing. And so you see things like this, and it doesn't even raise the eyebrows. Here's a news flash for you. Scientists uncover a difference between the sexes. That's a headline today. I can show it to you. In fact, I will. Here's what I'm looking at. Let me get it bigger. It says "duh," and I didn't add that. That was in the that was in it. Male and female brains operate differently at a molecular level. Isn't that what I've been telling you? Northwestern University research team reports in a new study of brain region involved in learning and memory, responses to stress, and epilepsy. Well, this is just a sample of the things. Tomorrow it will be another total ridiculous insanity that we see on and on. And yet, we have to keep our sense of humor, at least to a point, or else we'll get our blood pressure up and we get all stressed out. That doesn't do our bodies any good. And we should be better than that, shouldn't we? Because it's nothing that is new under the sun. The world has been like this ever since the fall. And now we are much more sophisticated. We are technologically advanced. So you can imagine there's going to be more nonsense. And there's enough of it to go around. Okay, we're going to get into Colossians chapter 3. Before you look at your notes, I want to ask you a few questions. Just kind of see what you have gleaned so far. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. Does anybody remember the first word in Colossians chapter 3, verse 24, and don't look down? Knowing. Remember knowing? Did you get it, Gar?
No, I looked down.
Oh, you looked down. I'm just glad I wasn't your school teacher. But he was honest. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. We spent a while on that. Now, what is one of the things I had? Y'all are looking down. Up here a minute. What is one thing that I had that you had in your notes, and I had it in big red letters up here, that had to do with that verse? And it's the takeaway. I said, this is the takeaway phrase or sentence that you need to take away from this verse. And it had to do with, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Maybe I should have made it bigger. God rewards those who seek Him. Remember? I mean, that you can take that one to the bank. God rewards those who seek Him. Not the ones that are out there who are professional do-gooders that are only producing human good that God doesn't accept anyway. It's not so much what you do, what we've been studying, isn't it? But why you do it. That's another takeaway from what we've been looking at. And also, it's the seeking. God isn't interested in all of your achievements. Remember, I gave you this. This is a real gem that I'm always looking for things that really strike me. And if it strikes me, I think it might strike you. Because people are always trying to achieve. And there's nothing wrong with trying to achieve and to be better and achieve more things. Unfortunately, in our society, people measure success by their bank accounts. And that's unfortunate. Because the old... I'm sorry, but I'll use a saying that's trite. At the end of the day... You hear this all the time. At the end of the day, what does it really matter? In life, what is it that really matters? Is it how successful you are, how much you achieved, how many victories you have? No. At the end of the day, at the end of time, what really matters is who you become. Nothing else really matters. That's what God is interested in. Who have you becoming, or who are you in the process of becoming? Because the great accolade, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," doesn't have anything to do with your achievements. It has everything to do with who you are now. And that's what the Bible does to us and for us. It changes who we are. It changes our thinking, and we are what we think. And so it's changing who we are. And one reason that we have to be diligent, spoudazo, in the intake of God's Word is because we have an uphill battle. Because our nature is to do just about everything that God wants us to do. In fact, we can't even do it apart from His enabling power. But one thing that should spur us on is that God rewards those who seek Him. Not the ones who get rewards on earth and they are achievers and they do all these other things. It's who you become. And every day we need to look at ourselves through God's eyes. Even the little things we say, the little things we do, and the thoughts that we think has to do with who we are. And God's design is to transition us to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's a lifelong process. And so in Colossians 3:24, I'll show it to you now. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Now people, I would say probably most people, and probably the great majority of believers think that I'm a believer, so I'm going to inherit heaven. That's what they think. Because most people in our society today, when they have children, I think you would agree that what they usually do is leave the lion's share of their inheritance to their children. And I guess that's been throughout time, but not always. In fact, in the time that the Bible was written, if you had children that were a disgrace, they didn't inherit anything. They were disinherited. And it might be someone else, a friend, an acquaintance, someone you knew. It could even be a slave that sometimes got the inheritance of the father. The father gave his inheritance to his sons. The daughters didn't get inheritance. They would be married and they would marry into wealth or a lack of wealth, whatever it may be. Okay, so that's what I just wanted to go back there for just a moment to look at that and reinforce it again that God rewards those who seek Him. If they keep on seeking Him, if they are faithful in pursuing grace and seeking Him, they will get rewarded for all eternity. But even in the process, as we are seeking Him, and that's what we're here, we are seekers. Remember, what was it a month ago about when I had, "Are you a seeker?" This is right before the Supreme Court decision came out. And I said, "Are you a seeker?" And that's what God is really looking at. Are you seeking Him or not? And those who do not seek Him don't know what they're missing. They don't have that esprit de corps. They don't have the joy. They don't have the confidence. They don't have the contentment. All the things that they're looking for are wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're looking for it elsewhere. So, that was just a little review. Now we're going to continue. Let me scroll down here to where we are. To verse 25. Well, just for you to remember, see at the top up there? God rewards those who seek Him. Boy, we went along. We've got a lot of notes between then and tonight. Here we go. We're starting here tonight. And we're in verse 25. And right here. This was where we started last time. We're picking. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. And we looked at the word. It's so important that this does not say sin. It says, for he who does wrong, not that he who sins, and that makes a big difference. Wrong is adikeia, A-D-I-E-K-A. Present active participle, it means to do wrong to something, to do wrong, to do something unrighteous, unapproved, or worthless. That's not the same as sin. And we saw the reason for this is because this verse just followed verse 24 that was talking about the reward of the inheritance. So this is about rewards. And sin doesn't have anything to do with rewards. But wrongdoing does. And wrongdoing here, as we had seen, can be doing a right thing for the wrong reason. In God's eyes, it's as important, if not more important, as to why you do something as to what you do. Now, people are conned all the time. You can know somebody intimately, know them just about as well as you know yourself, and still they can con you about their motives for doing things. In fact, even when we look into our own souls to ask the question, now why did we do that? It takes some introspection, doesn't it? And I think one reason we don't go there that often is because a lot of times we don't like what we see. I mean, if you're really honest about things, many of the things that we do that are altruistic and they're good, but it has a selfish motive. Or sometimes we're doing it because we feel, well, it's our duty to do it, but there's resentment. I don't want to have to do that. Why can't somebody else do it? And that's in doing something good. And God sees that. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize, is that this isn't talking about sin. This is talking about doing something that's actually worthless. Even though in the world's eyes, in our own eyes, a good deed is not worthless. But in God's eyes, it is if it's done with the wrong motivation. Okay, so that's the verse, and here's where we're picking up tonight, right here. Sins will not be mentioned at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we went there and I showed you the slide of someone's conception of what the judgment seat of Christ may be like. For he who does wrong, that is human good, will receive consequences. Did you hear that? Does that sound strange to you? He who does human good will receive consequences. Consequences, and we're not talking about sins. Now, if you were trying to explain this to an unbeliever or a believer that was uninitiated in God's Word, it would not compute. If I was you, I wouldn't even try it. We're not talking about light, little transient doctrines here. This is pretty deep. But we have to handle the Word as what it is conveying. For he who does wrong, human good, will receive consequences. When one does an act of human good, it is not sinful, but neither is it righteous in God's eyes. It probably is righteous maybe in everybody else's eyes, but God sees the real you, the motivation behind it. And if it's human good, it will either have selfish motive, self-promotion, or maybe resentment. And so in God's eyes, it's not good. In fact, to him, it is unrighteous because it's done with the wrong motivation, usually with self in mind rather than the Lord. So, the motivation is so important. And that's what we need to look at more, I believe. And we don't want to do it. It's hard to do. When a believer does something good while he is carnal, it is unacceptable to God. Why is that? It's because he cannot accept anything that is done in the flesh, and it is only human righteousness, which is relative righteousness, or minus R. We're going to look, there's two things. Plus R is righteousness that God imputes to us. That's already a done deal. We don't lose that, and we have to have that to have any fellowship with God whatsoever on any level. But there's also a righteousness that man can produce, which is a minus R. Y'all have heard of this verse before, but this is the whole verse. Usually the whole verse isn't quoted. This is Isaiah 64:6. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. I don't think there's anybody here, if you're honest with yourself, can say, well, that's not referring to me. Oh, really? Now, is he talking about sin here? He says, all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. Now, God can only accept plus R, which is perfect righteousness. It is perfect righteous. It is perfect because it is produced under the divine power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is divine good plus R, which is acceptable to God. Now, we're going to get away from this for just a moment. Okay. There's good and then there's good. There's what we call human good and there is divine good. I didn't come up with these terms, but it's good for us to understand good. Now, most believers and most people have no concept that there's, in God's eyes, there's different types of good. It's not that there's good and bad. No, there's good and there's good. You could say there is so-so good, and then there is phenomenal good. So let's go down the list here. What is red is human good, and what's blue is divine good. Human good is produced by believers and unbelievers. Unbelievers can produce human good. And carnal believers produce human good. In fact, I would imagine that if you had some kind of measuring device or some way you could weigh these things, that the amount of human good produced by unbelievers and believers would outweigh the world. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, but this is the great mass of good that's done in this world is not acceptable to God. And people think that it is, but it's not, because they don't know the difference between these two types of good. And then there is the divine good, and that is by believers only. Now, why is it only believers who can produce divine good? If you were taking a test, or if you were trying to explain that to an uninitiated person that has never heard this concept before, would you be able to do it? What would you be able to say? Well, the name of itself pretty gives it divine good. That means God is involved in this kind of good. The other, no. It's just about man. Man produces the human good, but God produces the divine good through man. But man can't do it apart from God. And you remember last time we spent some time on this? I said, even if you try to grit your teeth and you make a resolution, you make a commitment that I'm going to start doing things now for the right reason. I'm going to have the right motivation. If one would do that, would he be successful? Well, how can he? I mean, I'm not saying he's not successful doing the good. Anybody can do good. But what we can't do is come up with the pure righteous motivation apart from our own selfish and our own what's in it for me interests. That's who we are. But God can do it. In other words, anytime you do something good where there is lingering mental attitude sins in your own soul, it's human good. You have to clear the decks of those mental attitude sins before it can become divine good. And see, when you clear the decks of the mental attitude sins, and they're not lurking about, then you have the right motivation. God is behind it. He gives you power to do it. I think part of that power is after you do something that is good like that, rather than strutting about, look how great I am. No, you have gratitude for Him because of the joy you receive from Him using you to do that kind of good that is rewardable. The believer's status in human good is carnal. Now, I don't have to stop here and explain what carnal is to this group. It's just a believer who has sinned and they have not confessed that sin. They are in a way estranged from God. And the problem is, how do you get back right with God? Well, a lot of people are confused on that issue because I've seen a video of people in Rome where the Pope stays, and they're on their knees crawling on these old rough concrete or stone, and their knees are bleeding. And what they're trying to do is make up for the sins that they committed. And we don't make up for sins that we committed. How? First of all, why would we? Christ already paid for those sins. We could never make up for them. That's blasphemous. But to get right with God, He doesn't require us to do that either. Aren't you glad? And a lot of people say, oh, well, y'all say all you have to do is confess your sin and now you're good to go. That's all it takes. That's a license to sin. No, once you have felt the sting of the divine paddle, you don't want to go there. It's another manifestation of God's grace. Because what happens when we acknowledge our sins, rebound, we call it 1 John 1:9 and rebound. What happens is God demands that we are humble and we take responsibility for that sin. And we acknowledge that sin. It takes humility and He says, okay, now we're right. There's no barrier between us now. Isn't that what you want from your children? Of course it is. So, believers, before I leave this other one, the unbelievers, all they will ever produce their entire life is human good. They can never produce not even one little scintilla of divine good because it takes the divine to do that and they don't have the divine. They're unbelievers. They're not in God's royal family. And so, with the believer status and the spiritual column is, of course, where we produce the good, the divine good, the kind that really works, the kind that lasts. The viewpoint in the human good, of course, is human. And in the divine good, it's, of course, divine good. In other words, God says, I'll tell you what. When you're thinking like me and you're doing good deeds, when you're thinking like I am, then that's divine good and it'll be rewardable. Now here's the kind of I've changed this from this. I used to have this for a long time, but I've changed this. The motivation in human good is self-promotion. You could say selfishness or self-promotion. You're not waiting on God to promote you. He's not doing it fast enough. So you're going to take the lead in this and you're going to do things that will impress people. And a lot of people think it's impressing God as well. So it's done with an mindset of self-promotion. And a lot of times, like I said, it's resentment. Haven't you all done things before that people have asked you or you saw a need and you did it, but you just really, there was no joy in it. It was just drudgery. Well, what kind of good is that? Human good. You get mental attitude sins. You're complaining in your mind about it. You might not even say it. You might even say, dang, I don't want to do this. All right, I guess I'll do it. I'll get the tire and I'll help them get that tire on there. I did it. And the people, oh, thank you. You're so wonderful. Oh, yeah. Really? What does God think? Waste of time. On the divine side, the motivation is rewards and love of God. For the less mature believers, the motivation is for rewards. And that's a legitimate thing. I'll come back to this in a minute because I'm going to ask you a question. I think you might be stumped. Maybe not, but we'll see. The standards for human good is self-righteousness. I mean, you can't come up with a righteousness that God can give you, so it comes from self. And that's the standard. And your standard, you're way up there, see? Because you did this good and you're very proud of yourself and you think very highly of yourself. But it wasn't God didn't have anything to do with it. Schumann. The standards, of course, for divine good is experiential righteousness and plus R. The plus R, with a capital R, many times is used to refer to imputed righteousness, which we get the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. But the experiential righteousness cannot occur unless you have the imputed righteousness to start with. But imputed righteousness will not win you rewards. You hear that? You are perfect in God's eyes because He imputed His righteousness to you. You can't improve upon that. But it doesn't win you even one reward. Because that was a trade-off. Christ got what He didn't deserve on the cross, which is our punishment for our sins. And in that other trade-off, we get His righteousness. But the experiential righteousness is what a believer accomplishes through the filling of the Holy Spirit as he learns and grows the Word and applies the Word in divine good as experiential righteousness. And that is the standard. And unbelievers and carnal believers can't meet it because God has to be in it. And human good He is not in. The credit goes to man in human good. The credit goes to God in divine good. You did the good, but the only reason you could do it with the right motivation is because God enabled you to do that. The purpose of human good is to glorify God, a man, and the divine good is to glorify God. And the whole purpose on this earth is to what? Glorify God. And yet if you do it under your own power, this human good, then who is glorified? And listen, it's hard. We are such horrible creatures that we don't want to do what's right to begin with. It's not our nature. Selfish. But then when we do the right thing, if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then we want to gloat. We expect things from people. I did this for you, so what you going to do for me? That type is with strings, see? And now, strings aren't always obvious, but a lot of times in our mind, we're keeping score. We're keeping count. I did this for you. I did that for you. I did this for you. You know, you act like I'm a chunk of cheese over here or something. I mean, you don't even recognize all these good things. Then these are the things that go through people's mind. And it's because they want to glorify themselves rather than God. The origin is ignorance for the most part. Most people who do human good, they're not aware that they're doing human good. If you even say human good, well, what do you mean human good? Well, I mean as opposed to divine good. They don't have a clue. So it's ignorance. Ignorance is a big deal. What did I say? Colossians 3:24 starts with knowing, perfecting. So the purpose is to glorify God, glorify God here. And then origin is ignorance. And for the divine good, the origin is spiritual growth. Listen, when you believe the gospel, I don't know how much doctrine you have. Most people don't have much doctrine when they believe the gospel. Unless they've been legalistic and they've got a lot of verses. And finally someone says, hey, it's about grace. He who believes in the Son, what? Has eternal life. Yeah, but what do? Believe. And when that finally registers to someone, wow, they get turned into grace. And they usually don't have that much growth. But we're talking about things. Do you understand we're talking about things that probably 99.7% of the people that you know outside of this church have no idea what you're talking about? And then the result of human good for the unbeliever, this isn't carnal believers, this is just for unbelievers, is they are condemned to the lake of fire. That's how serious this human good. That's what they're depending on, being accepted by God, rather than Christ's work on the cross. God does not accept it. He rejected it at the cross, but it will be dealt with for the unbeliever at the great white throne. And then for the believer, the issue is rewards, decorations, privileges, opportunities that last how long? Forever. Okay, we're going to go revisit again this motivation. See it up there? Are you ready for the hard question? Y'all don't look ready for a hard question, I just got to tell you. You look like you're barely hanging on with your fingernails right now. Am I going too fast, or do I need to repeat or something? You look a little glazed over. It's not that hard. Well, I'll give it to you anyway, the question. But you're going to have to think. The motivation for human good is self-promotion. You want to get something out of it. Okay? But look at the motivation with divine good. It's rewards. Well, isn't rewards kind of like promotion? I mean, isn't that you want to get something good out of it? Do you see how that motivation in the human good column may seem somewhat similar to what's in the divine good column? Do you see the similarity there? Now, here's your question. Why is the one self-promotion in human good not good? It's not accepted by God. But the motivation to get rewards, which is good, is acceptable to God. Why is self-promotion in the human good column wrong, and the kind of self-promotion, well, I'd just say the promotion in the column of divine good is acceptable to God, and it is rewarded? Did I phrase it to where you can now who can tell me? Why is one right and one's wrong? Why is one condemned and one is rewardable? Okay, one at a time. Y'all want here. Danny, you want to do this? Over here. Rachel?
I'm just saying that the difference is that one is his child. We're a believer, so we automatically, God will reward us.
Automatically?
Or not automatically, but I mean, because we've done his will and we're doing what he wants us to do, then he's going to reward us. The self-righteousness or the self-promotion person is doing it. He has no reward. The reward is what others will see, but
it's kind of hard to describe, isn't it?
That's not it?
Well, you're kind of on the right track.
Self-promotion is the self.
Is that turned on? Okay.
Self-promotion is for self.
That doesn't sound right.
Okay. Self-promotion is strictly to promote self. Uh-huh. You do something in order to get something, uh-huh. Approbation, acknowledgement. But the rewards are given based on what you did with divine good, and he rewards you because you glorify him, not yourself.
Okay, that's good. That's good. We're putting these together and getting. Okay, what do you have to say, Pete?
For the believer there, which is we're talking about human good, his source is his old sin nature. He connives and thinks how he said before, how he gets promoted in the eyes of man. But the power in the latter, the divine good, comes from a power outside of him, which is the third person of the Godhead doing the work in you.
Okay. Everything that y'all said is good. And it's not a wrong or right answer here necessarily. But I had a hard time not giving it away when I was talking about it just a moment ago, when I was comparing the two, because the motivation under human good, that word self-promotion, you can't get away from self because that's what makes it human good, see? And then I said, but with the divine good, it is, you have to leave the self out, do you see? It's promotion But you're not generating it. What you're doing is being obedient to be faithful in taking in the Word and applying the Word. And you learn. That's why you can't do it in ignorance. That's what characterizes the human good side. But self is not in it. That we can do good with no motivation from within us, the better us. The motivation is pure and it's humble because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can't do that if we have mental attitude sin. So we're doing these good things only because God cleansed us of our mental attitude sins and self is no longer in it and we're doing the good. And it's not for our glory, it's for His glory. And it goes so deep that inside of you, you actually have a pure motive that doesn't have anything to do with self. And we can't come up with that on our own. Can we?
But Mike, I think we are rewarded immediately.
Go ahead, Rita.
I think that when we have done something for the glory of God, I believe we are rewarded immediately. We don't have to wait for the hereafter.
What you're saying is true. In fact, I'll handle that in a little while. There are, when all you do is have human good, not only are you going to have shame at the judgment seat of Christ, which we're going to be talking about the consequences of the wrong. There are consequences not only that if you all you ever do is human good, there are consequences at the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be shame there. But there's also consequences as you're doing it. I'm going to be pointing that out. And what you're talking about is the other side of the coin, is when you do divine good, there are, if you want to call them rewards, that's fine, there are benefits to doing divine good in the here and now. One of them is that you can have the joy that you will never have if you're just self-promoting. I'm going to get into that. What you're saying is absolutely true. We don't have to say, well, we're doing all this and we're not going to have any results until eternity. A lot of people say, well, hey, so what? I mean, that's a long ways maybe. But we get benefits now, in the here and now. But what I wanted to do is show you that the main difference between human good and divine good is in divine good, self is not there. The Bible tells us we are to die to self. Positionally, we already have. Remember, we saw that in Colossians as well. When Christ died on the cross, we died with Him. And so, how much temptation is sin to a dead man? Can you tempt a dead man? No. But we're talking about an experiential sense. Well, y'all did really good. I was just curious. I know that I'm rolling the dice when I throw this out there to you, but I y'all were all on the right self. But I'm trying to keep it simple. And just remember, in the simple sense, in human good, self is what the issue is. It's always about self. And that is our default position. This is what we normally do. And we have to be aware of what every day when we do things, not only are we trying to do the right thing, but we want to do the right thing with the right motivation because that's what's rewardable. And that's where the joy is. And like Rita was saying, not only for eternity, but in the here and now. When you do something, when you do divine good for someone or whatever it may be, you will experience a joy that you can never get from trying to do something promoting self. God promotes you really to a level where you can enjoy this phenomenal joy that you can't get. When you're trying to be happy by striving to be happy and pleasing yourself, it'll never happen. You'll never have that joy. It's when you die to self and you extend yourself with no strings to someone else and they're benefited and it's divine good, right then you have a joy that you can never achieve by trying to just be happy or have fun. It won't happen. And that takes knowledge. It takes knowledge of how you produce divine good. I can't believe that time. Just went. Okay, are y'all with me on this? Okay. So, are y'all ready to explain this to someone that had never heard it before? You think you can do it? Trying to keep it simple by saying that the whole approach of producing divine good is keeping self out of it. Do y'all understand that? I can't speak for you. I can speak for myself, though. No matter how hard I try, there's always that tendency within me when I'm doing something for someone else in the human good, self-promotion area, that I'm thinking, boy, this is really good. I'm extending myself to these people and they're really going to appreciate it. I'm going to be a lot higher in their esteem and in their estimation now because of this. That's not sinful. I mean, it's not, but it's not rewardable, do you see? Because God doesn't have anything to do with it. And I think when we see that that's the case, we need to acknowledge it to God, or at least to ourselves. It's not like acknowledging a sin. We just have to recognize, you know what, I did all that. And it's hard to help people. Golly, we're just trying to survive and make it through the day, and somebody else wants to come and dump their problems on us, and we want to run from them. Yeah, well, go see somebody else. I don't have time. That's our default. As unto the Lord. Right. And when you do it as unto the Lord, you know what? It's easy. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're helping someone, it doesn't matter how hard it is what you're doing. It's joy in your soul, and you can't get that on your own when you're trying to achieve it on your own power. God has to give you that ability to do that. And then we experience a little bit of the joy that is going to be, that we'll experience for all eternity when we're in away from these fallen bodies. I don't know how clear I'm coming across, but I'm trying to do it in a way that it's practical, and you can start thinking about the good things that you do.
Mike, it's a joy that's unspeakable. And Ephesians 4:12, the joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yeah.
You'll
never satisfy yourself when you're trying to satisfy self. You'll never promote yourself to where it's the thrilling joy that it should be if you're doing it yourself. That's what all that divine good is about. I mean, excuse me, human good. Okay, well, I guess I was going to... Let's see, what time we got? I guess I'll stop here. I'll show you the notes where we are. So, we're talking about motivation. We're talking about how God rewards those who seek Him. And one of the ways that He rewards those who seek Him is when they understand what divine good is, and they want to produce that divine good, and they see in their life, hey, I'm struggling here. I'm trying to do divine good, and I keep getting resentful because they're interrupting my day, and I've had it planned out, somebody intrudes, they need help. And I instantly come up with resentment. Lord, help me with this. And He will do it. Because you're humble. Wouldn't you do that to your child? I need some help in this area. Boom, you'll get it. And then, every day we can experience this kind of joy. And not feel like we're inconvenienced, or that we're interrupted, and we don't want to hear it. Go to somebody else. I'm busy. Of course, y'all probably aren't like that. You're probably not, I don't know. You know what I'm like. So here's where we were going to go next, but we don't have time tonight. So, what are the consequences for a believer who does wrong, and the does wrong means producing human good? See, now again, remember, producing human good is not a sin. But it's wrong in God's eyes, but it's not a sin. Christ did not pay for the time that you do good in a human good. Self-promotion, whatever, it's not, that's not what a sin. But it's wrong. And so, here's the hard part, is that you have consequences. There are, if you live your life as a believer, and there are millions, probably, believers that will never hear the difference between divine good and human good, and they're out there hustling to impress God with all their good, and what are they going to have at the end? Consequences. And by the way, by all these hustlers that are trying to impress God with all their good, there's going to be a big bonfire. Because it's not that their good is sin, but it's God's got to do something with it. And this is what He thinks of your good. He's going to burn it. And fire destroys. It's going to be gone. It's not going to be in His heaven. In fact, the whole world's going to burn up. And when the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven, sits on planet Earth, it's going to be no sin. It's going to be, that fire is going to do away with, it's going to destroy any vestige of sin. And at the judgment seat of Christ, all this human good that people did is going to be burned, so it's useless. But furthermore, there are consequences. There are consequences at the judgment seat of Christ, and what I mentioned a while ago, talking to Weta, is that there are consequences when you do human good and leave God out of it. And I'll tell you next time what they are. You might recognize them. Some of the consequences that you will experience when you do human good. And maybe that's one way you can tell when you do something that is human good, there's consequences. When you do something that is divine good, minus the promotion and resentment, and so self-promotion and resentment, self isn't in it, then there's automatic blessing at that point. So we'll get into that next time. We're out of time right now. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You will open our minds to where we can sort these things out in our own soul, because they are so important. Not many believers recognize that You are more impressed with why we do things than You are with what we do. Because when we do things, no matter how hard we strive and how notable it may be in our sacrifice to do good and to help, it's worthless if it's for self-promotion, resentment. And only You can remove that from us so that we can experience the joy that You have for those who are good and faithful servants. We pray that You will help us to meditate on these things and notice every day in our life, look for these things, so we won't go through life marking time and just not going anywhere, but that we can experience the life in eternity that is beyond dreams, and even experience the abundant life here on earth as well. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.